Can you hear me okay there?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. During the last quarter, I attended the following meetings and events. The Special Education Advisory Council reports were presented by several special education directors outlining recent activities and training opportunities in their area. The Nebraska Center for the Education of Children Who Are Blind and Visually Impaired shared updates on several key initiatives, and they also talk about the 150th anniversary events they had during last year. Some of the key initiatives include student and family support programs, statewide technical assistance to teachers of the visually impaired TVIs, and the coordination of statewide conference for TVIs. They also noted their ongoing collaboration with the American Printing House for the Blind. The Parents Training and Information Program also gave their report, and they talk about their efforts to support parents of special education children statewide. At the Olmsted Advisory Committee, it was reported that the cost of the aging and disability waiver has increased approximately 300%, creating a significant need for budgetary adjustment. Individuals with severe disabilities and their family members have expressed concern regarding how the proposed cuts were implemented. Consumers emphasized that reducing in-home service might lead to higher costs as transitioning these individuals to nursing homes is more expensive than supporting them in their own homes. Just earlier this week, it was reported that HHS and the governor's office listened to consumers, and some of those cuts were out. So things are looking better in this area. At the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind monthly meetings, actually this is the executive committee, last December we learned that the Memorandum of Agreement to transfer the Rehabilitation Services Administration and Special Education Functions to the Department of Labor was in their final stages. Federal law prohibits the transfer of funds from one department to another. However, the agreement only transfers duties and management responsibilities, not funds. Last Tuesday, the House passed the Senate package of the appropriations bills to end the partial government shutdown. Five appropriation bills, including the Department of Education, received funding through the end of this fiscal year, which is September. On the Randall Shepherd Program issue, last December, actually December 23rd, the Secretary of the U.S. Department of Education, Linda E. McMahon, issued a waiver stating that Randolph-Shepard priority does not apply to the Army, The concern is that this waiver can expand to other branches of the armed forces and potentially to other federal agencies. Currently, the waiver applies only to army cafeterias and does not extend to vending machines. They are putting this emphasis about the vending machines because 3 weeks or so ago, the National Association of Blind Merchants met with the Army Purchasing Bureau, and in their interpretation, the waiver talks about Randolph Shepherd, doesn't mention cafeteria specifically. So in their interpretation, they were talking also about vending machines, but in a meeting with the Department of Education, it was emphasized again that vending machines does not apply. One positive development is that state agencies provided a strong response rate to the RSA OIB, or the Older Individual Powerline Survey. This is helpful because it's going to quote unquote increase funding for OIB services. On the lobbying and influencing restrictions, non-profit organizations such as NCSAB are prohibited from using federal funds from lobbying federal officials. A recent federal memo further restricts these organizations from engaging on activities intending to influence public officials or federal entities. NCSAB will use its non-federal revenue fees from exhibitors at national conferences to advocate for services. Responding from a request from a federal entity or a congressional inquiry does not constitute lobbying or influencing. So when I go to testify next week here at the unicameral, I will be fine. The Workforce Investment and Opportunity Act Board, the meeting focused mainly on presentations from several nonprofit organizations outlining their services and explaining their funding requests. The Nebraska Department of Labor reported that available grant funding for these programs is approximately $2 million less than previous years, so not everybody will be getting funds. At the boards and commissions meetings, we received a presentation from the Ombudsman Office, and they reported that most complaints come from the Department of Health and Human Services and the Department of Corrections. There are very few, if any, complaints involving boards and commissions. We also received a presentation from the Governor's Policy and Research Office regarding LB 660. This bill passed last year and required state agencies to submit a fiscal report as well as a detailed report on activities related to each chapter of statute governing each state agency. The first report is due by the end of January 2027. In other activities, we finished developing amendments to the combined state plan in collaboration with the other stakeholders as required under WIOA. The combined plan is to March 4th, 2026. A draft has been posted for public comments on January 30th, to allow for a 30-day comment period, and a public hearing is scheduled for February 12th. The governor is recommending a 5% budget reduction for all state agencies. If approved, we will have to discontinue our support to the pilot project for supported service providers in Omaha for the deafblind. In addition, we will have to significantly reduce or potentially eliminate our PSA, or public service announcement efforts. I will be testifying next Tuesday, February 12th. The testifying period starts at 1:30. We don't know yet if we are going to be third, second, third, or fifth, but 1:30 starts the testimonies on Tuesday. The agency is currently utilizing federal fiscal year 2025 basic support carryover funds. In other words, we are in a very good shape. In September of 2024, the state of Nebraska signed on, along with other 16 states, to Texas versus Kennedy, formerly Texas versus Becerra, in a lawsuit against the U.S. government, asking the court to get rid of Section 504 and its updating rules from 2024 that protects people with disabilities from discrimination on health care and human services. On January 25th, 2026, just a couple of weeks ago, 9 of the 17 states renewed their attack on Section 504. They're asking the courts to block the rules of integration from all of the sections on Rule 504 and their updated rules from 2024. Thanks to the advocacy from the organized blind, Nebraska is no longer part of this lawsuit. In, go ahead, clap if you want. And that's for the, I guess, blind consumers who did it. On the business office, continue the financial literacy through supervisors' meetings. Progress was made on refining inventory processes to improve tracking, reduce excess stock, strengthen internal controls, and streamlining the process so bills can be paid quickly. Reviewed practices related to fixed assets assigned to consumers and implemented procedures for asset dispositions. Continue to provide guidance and develop tools to support administrative staff and supervisors with contract development. At the direction of the state of Nebraska, payroll processing will transition from financial system on E1 to our LM and HR on Workday. Technology highlights. Charles has been working on technology infrastructure, staff enablement, and assistive technology evaluations. Successfully completed the comprehensive setup and configuration of the agency new Google Workspace environment. Finalize the creation of deployment for dedicated IRA account for all blind staff members. Successfully develop and facilitated the multi-session technology training curriculum during November 2025 through January 2026. Gathered and reviewed all competitive bids to select a partner that we will ensure compliance with the WCAG standards. That's the one that we have to make sure that all our web page material is accessible to all people with disabilities. Route management software. This effort is aimed on centralizing and streamlining the reservation process for agency vehicles and drivers, which will help more to have more efficiency. Procured and began an intensive testing phase for two cutting-edge assistive smart glasses, the Solo Ally and the Echo Vision smart glasses. Kat Stevens worked on updates to the agency website as needed, coordinated the creation of new and updated business cards for staff members, set up Zoom meetings for staff and the friends of the commission as needed, arranged for 7 staff members and 3 consumers to attend the annual Black Hills Regional Ski for Light event, assisted with the transfer of monarchs to consumers as their cases were closed. In the human resources area, staff updates. Crystal Platt will end her training next week, and after that she will start working as a VR counselor in the Omaha area. Joshua Colton was promoted on December 1st to be the MBE manager. He was the technology specialist in North Platt, so that position isn't vacant. We did some interviews a few weeks ago and decided not to hire that person, so that position is still open. It's the only position open in the agency. Training opportunities. Field counselors participated in a 1.5 training conducted by the Mississippi State University National Research Training on Business Services. Staff also received service on job rotation and building a strategic partnership with VR consumers and technology careers. Mark Coleman was accepted into a graduate certificate program with the Louisiana Tech University. Candace Dollar was accepted into a Master in Rehabilitation Counseling Virtual Program at George Washington University, funded through an RSA grant. Technology staff attended the Assistive Technology Industry Association, ATIA conference in January, which focused on emerging assistive technology. Staff also participated in webinars covering artificial intelligence opportunities, standards of quality for family support, and questions about vision loss, state staff meeting is scheduled for March 16th through the 19th in Carmen. Field services. Staff actively deliver presentations on our services to different stakeholders, participated on individual education plans in different schools, work-based learning experiences with different employers, promote and provide technical assistance on workplace and workplace accessibility, collaborated with the American Council of the Blind of Nebraska and the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska with their state conventions planning, health gate programs, trained consumers on job hunting skills, met with Chamber of Commerce to establish employer networks, appear as a guest in the radio talking book show in December, continue collaboration with stakeholders to provide technology training. Overall, these programs, training, and partnerships reflect NCBVI's continued commitments to empowering consumers, expanding employment opportunities and training, and strengthening both local communities and statewide network. Client statistics. Number of clients served in all statistics this last quarter. OIB 381, independent living services under 55 were 65 individuals, vocational rehabilitation 424. Successful consumer closures in the last quarter in the following occupations: food preparation worker, cashier, janitor, legal support, physical therapist assistant, receptionist, registered nurse, sales representative, stock clerk, and storage manager. The Nebraska Center for the Blind, we have 8 people attending training, from which 6 are VR consumers and 2 staff trainees. Drops, mini meals, commencement meals, techniques of daily living, weekly philosophical seminars, and monthly virtual vocational seminars continue. Community-based activities this quarter included shopping at Five Below and baking at apartments, wrapping gifts and decorating for the holidays, volunteering at the MAD tablet kitchen to prepare and serve salads to patrons, volunteering at Center for People in Need to pack boxes of food for distribution. Nebraska Business Enterprise. At Stratcom, we transitioned to a new teaming partner, Sodexo Incorporated, to support cafeteria operations alongside our blind manager on site. We continue to collaborate closely with the federal government on the ongoing remodeling. At the Ashland National Guard Camp, the cafeteria services solicitation under the Randolph Shepard Act is currently under review by the National Guard Bureau. Their goal was to provide the solicitation to the Commission for the Blind by February 1st, but we haven't had it yet. The program currently have 16 licensed vendors actively serving routes, plus one individual who is on training. And that's my report. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Questions from the board?
Yes.
Yep.
I'm a little bit concerned, Carlos, about the vending program. I'm wondering if there's any training of the vendors. I think it would help. I remember hearing sometimes about, you know, things being expired and things like that. So are there any plans for an actual training for the vendors rather than just shadowing and having commission people get involved in coming alongside and helping?
Thanks for asking that. Those complaints are isolated complaints, many times had to do with a particular blind vendor. We address those at a retreat, so I think we have a blind vendor here, two actually,
yep,
who were at the retreat, so we talk about the importance of keeping things updated. And the particular person who was having those issues actually is no longer with us, and we have a new person there. So there's constant training on that, Linda.
But is there training on, like, how to do inventory and how to keep track of stuff and, you know, those types of things? Because not everybody has a brain for those kinds of, you know, work ethic kinds of stuff.
To my knowledge, there is. I don't supervise that as closely as I used to, but we have the NBE manager here. Josh?
Yes. So currently it's kind of a person-by-person basis. I mean, some people, like you said, some people have got the brain for it, some people don't. So we kind of just cater the training per individual and what their needs are and what they do know already and what they don't know. I am investigating some more streamlined training opportunities that we could present to our consumers to help provide them with a better structure, but I am currently in the process of figuring something more suitable.
There is new technology and software that helps with that, but again, some folks don't have the brain or just don't like to learn the technology, so it's kind of difficult to deal with that, but yeah. There is an ongoing training on that. And we do have now full staff, three and a half staff members. So we will be working on that too.
Okay, thanks.
Sure. Any other questions?
I have a question. So regarding the National Guard, isn't that under the Army?
Yes.
And so do you have any information regarding the issue with the Army and the National Guard?
Well, my understanding is that the Army is looking at big contracts. In fact, they already put out there a solicitation for the private sector to run big cafeterias. And I think there are 7 blind vendors who will be losing their sites. The National Guard at Ashland is a very small place, a very far away place, and I'm hoping it's not going to be attracting those big corporations. But I don't know. It's kind of concerning that they didn't get back to us last week.
And I guess also concerning is because the governor didn't decide to be with the with the National Federation of the Blind, right? National Association of the Blind
Merchants.
Merchants, right?
Yeah, it actually was the Attorney General, not the one.
Oh, General, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay, thank you.
Sure.
Oh, I have one other thing. Mm-hmm. I'm being annoying.
Not at all.
In your report, Carlos, you said Tuesday, February 12th. It's actually the 10th if it's Tuesday.
Yes, the 10th.
I don't know if anybody caught that, but I did.
Yeah, I'm sorry, the 10th. Yeah.
I was going to correct that public comment.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah. Why did I say 12? I have lunch now, I think. Yeah, the 10th. Thank you.
Any other questions from the board? Okay, the next thing we have is Newsline update. Kathy, you
want to
read that for us?
Unless it's Jamie, don't want to read it.
I can use this one. I didn't even think about bringing my report, so I
submitted
it, so I apologize, but I can't answer questions.
I'll shut that one off. NFB Newsline. Report prepared by Jamie Ritchie, the Newsline coordinator. Love is in the air, and lately I've been hearing a lot about how much people love NFB Newsline. Here in Nebraska, we are especially lucky because NFB Newsline is fully funded by the Nebraska Commission for the Blind. Other states are not so lucky. Some have lost NFB Newsline services due to budget cuts and changes tied to National Library Service funding. Because of my role on the National Federation of the Blind Board of Directors, we hear directly from subscribers who share how much they love NFB Newsline and how much of a lifeline it truly is. With so many news access options out there, NFB Newsline continues to stand out as the most accessible, all-in-one place for newspapers, TV listings, magazines, and even job listings. That is something worth a little extra love. This past quarter, Nebraska NFB Newsline served 2,190 subscribers, and we added 10 new subscribers along the way, which is always a heartwarming trend. Over the telephone, November brought 438 calls with 7,075 total minutes read and an average call length of 16.15 minutes. With 56.92% using the local number. December turned up with 683 calls and 7,925 minutes read, and the average call length was 11.60 minutes, with 43.99% using the local number. Then January arrived, and wow, people were really listening with their hearts, because callers logged 530 calls and a big jump to 9,126 minutes read. The average call length climbed to 17.22 minutes, and 54.70% of calls used the local number. January did not have the most calls, but it did have the most minutes, which tells me Nebraska subscribers were settling in, getting comfortable, and really enjoying their news, kind of like slowly savoring the chocolates in the heart-shaped box. Okay, subscribers also showed plenty of love through digital access. NFB Newsline online was used 4,382 times in November, 5,776 times in December, and 6,212 times in January, which is a steady climb that just keeps getting sweeter. The NFB Newsline mobile app, including the new Android app, was accessed 510 times in November, 603 times in December, and 560 times in January. For those who like their news ready to go, automatic downloads to a device were strong all quarter, with 2,623 publications downloaded in January, 2,971 in December, and 3,147 in January. Email deliveries stayed wonderfully consistent too, with 392 emails sent in November, 379 in December, and 398 in January. If NFB Newsline had a Valentine, I think it would be Nebraska. When we look at the types of content people choose, we can see some clear favorites. On the average over the last 3 months, Nebraska newspapers were the most popular by far, with about 5,000 to accessed per month. National newspapers were next at an average of 463 per month. TV listings averaged 228 per month, and breaking news online averaged 167 per month. International newspapers averaged 151 per month, and magazines averaged 91 per month. Local weather and emergency alerts averaged 60 per month, making it the least used category this quarter, but it is still an important one. A few updates for you, with a little broken heart. Scott White is no longer with NFB Newsline, and Jack Mendez is now the program manager. Scott served as the director of NFB Newsline for around 15 years, so this is a significant change. Jack is getting his feet under him, but once he does, he has many new ideas to enhance the system, and I am looking forward to what is ahead. In December, subscribers across the country began having problems with the TV listings, with issues ranging from minor problems to not being able to access them at all. As of last week, this issue appears to be resolved, but as always, if you have problems or know someone having problems, please let me know. Also in December, we had an issue with the voicemail box for NFB Newsline, Nebraska, where messages were being sent to a former coordinator instead of me. I worked with the business office at NCBVI, and this problem should now be resolved. Subscribers can call 402-471-8102 and leave a message, which I receive by email, so I can respond. Subscribers can also email newsline@ne.nfb.org. Thank you for supporting and using NFB Newsline. If you have questions or need help getting started, please contact me anytime. Wishing you a happy Valentine's Day with lots of sweet news, and may NFB Newsline keep delivering the content you love.
All right, any questions from the board for our Newsline coordinator now that she's actually here? Taking advantage of the opportunity.